Artillery battles and missile strikes in Ukraine are creating an environmental disaster that could last longer than the war itself, NPR's Nathan Rott reports.
Brown leaves and short shoots of green grass blanket the forest floor in these woods west of the northern Ukrainian town of Zhytomyr. Our guide, Viktor Radishinsky, excitably IDs the tall trees on either side.
Beach.
California.
Yeah. The same in California.
Yeah, I live in California.
On живет California.
Radishinsky is part of a team of ecological and environmental inspectors who are here to show us a small example of the environmental damage caused by Russia's invasion. Roughly a quarter mile into the woods, we hit a wide trench dug into the forest floor.
It was dug out to prevent fire spreading.
So this is a fire line we're walking on.
On the other side of the trench, the forest floor is scorched black, and there's a tangle of downed, burnt trees. A gash, maybe 20 yards across, has been cleaved through the canopy above, and debris dots the ground all around.
These are the pieces of the plane.
Earlier in the war, a Ukrainian fighter jet in a dogfight with two Russian planes crashed into these woods. A jagged piece of metal is lodged into a burnt tree some 20 feet overhead.
So the plane crashed here and started a wildfire?
То есть здесь упал самолёт, ну, впав літак, і почалася пожежа, так?
Не зірвався.
It exploded.
Wow.
The 27-year-old pilot did not survive. Yevgeny Medvedovsky, the chief of the region's Department of Ecological Inspection, says Ukraine's military took the bulk of the wreckage away from this area more than 2 months ago. But you can still smell the jet fuel that seeped into the ground, a concern for the water supplies of two nearby villages. This pollution, Medvedovsky says, will be with this place for a long time. Medvedovsky and other ecological inspectors around the country have been coming to sites like this wherever they can, collecting soil samples, water, and air. They're visiting fuel depots destroyed by Russian missile strikes, industrial sites and factories, battlefields and blast sites. Many places are still inaccessible or still occupied by Russia. All of the information is then sent on to Kyiv to the country's lead office of environmental inspection and its head, Олексій Образон.
Детальна фіксація вже відбулася по близько 300 випадках.
We've documented more than 300 cases of ecological damage since Russia's invasion began, Образон says, but the total cases could be upwards of 1,500. The evidence, Образон says, is being collected to charge Russia with potential environmental war crimes, even though there's not much precedent in international courts for that. I ask why the world should care about environmental damage given the horrific crimes against people suffered in Bucha, Mariupol, and the country's east. The world now knows about Ukraine, Образон says, and the problems it's facing. But these environmental problems aren't just Ukraine's, he stresses. They cross borders. They are the world's. To get a better sense of that larger impact, we went to Tuzlovsky Lagoons National Park, along the Black Sea in the grass-covered steppe of Ukraine's southern coast.
This is pretty.
Look how big it is. It's about 27,000 hectares.
Ivan Rusev helped create this national park. And even though this area doesn't have crashing jets, parts of this park were bombed, and much of its beaches are now covered in mines. And Rusev says the impact of the war here is devastating. Start with the normally huge population of migratory birds.
They disappeared because it was very big noise from the bombing.
Dolphins, he says, affected by the low-frequency sonar used by Russian warships, have been washing up on shore.
We estimate that all dolphins which died from this war, about 2,000 dolphins dying during three months.
Then there's the fires.
Fire is a big problem. For example, about 15 kilometers, it was a big fire 2 weeks ago.
Fire started by a flare that was difficult to contain because of mines. Zoom out, And there are concerns that Russia's invasion of Ukraine could make regular wildfires difficult to contain in other parts of the world as well. Last year, Turkey, northern Russia, Greece, and other parts of Europe experienced devastating wildfire seasons.
We're looking at the exact same pattern we had last year. So very, very hot, very, very dry.
Scott Denish is the Wildfire and Emergency Systems Coordinator for USAID.
Many of the firefighting aircraft for Western Europe and the Middle East come from Russia. And because of sanctions and because of those aircraft's unavailability because of the war, those are off the table now.
Wildfires in Siberia, which have an outsized impact on the world's climate, Denich says, are going unsuppressed.
This war is outside of even just Ukraine. It really has multiple exponential layers of damage it's doing
to the world's climate and its declining biodiversity. Back at Tuzlovsky Lagoons National Park on the Black Sea, Irina Vikyushchuk, the park's director, steps out of the car into tall grass next to the still waters of a neighboring lagoon. Normally, she says, we'd be seeing huge flocks of migratory birds resting on this water surface as they make their journeys north and west. This year, she says, they've mostly been scared away. A short trip away, past a string of anti-tank mines hidden in the grass, we reach the Black Sea and a long, empty stretch of shell-speckled sand. This place has the most amazing sunrises and sunsets, Vikyushchuk says. It's normally like heaven. Looking out towards the Black Sea, she says when Ukraine wins this war, not if. She hopes people will visit this park again, whatever state it's in. And hopefully, she says, it will help them heal. Nathan Rott, NPR News, Tuzlovsky Lagoons National Park, Ukraine.